Politiken Audiobooks presents Hangdogs by Jens Henrik Jensen. Translated by Caroline Waite. Read by Stephen Pacey. Chapter 1. It was as though the dog had craned its neck, struggling frantically to breathe one last gulp of life's scent. In vain. Its nose hadn't reached the fringe of almond blossoms above its head. The realization in its dull eyes mirrored the faint light of dawn. The struggle had been over for hours. Its weight had tightened the noose around its neck long before daybreak. Now, a strong Andalusian February wind was sweeping in from the reservoir, the Embalse del Guadalhorce Guadalteba setting the dog's clumsy body swaying gently from side to side. A cloud of flowers was torn loose, swirling like snowflakes tinged with a pinkish glow. A petal came to rest delicately on the dog's tongue, a merciful kiss that had come much too late. Little by little, the light broke through the billowing sheet of flowers, and the pale brown markings on the dog's fur sharpened. A big dog, a Rottweiler, male. Further up the slope, beyond the grove of almond trees and a copse of tall pines, was a cluster of white buildings. A sign by the wrought iron gate at the end of the gravel path read, Finca Freiriksen. The locals, and there were still some, despite the invasion of wealthy foreigners, remembered the Finca, the property with the miraculous view, by its original name, Finca Fernandes. The new name, Freiriksen, was apparently Swedish or Norwegian or German or Danish. In any case, the new occupants who had been living by the reservoir for 4 or 5 years were from somewhere up north. Truth was, it didn't matter where they came from. Changing the name felt like disrespect, and nobody would have anything to do with them. The strangers were simply there. Rich people, enclosed by their tall wire fences, and made no contribution to the community whatsoever. Just after midnight, the Finca's owner, Hannibal Freiriksen, had gone outside to call in his dog. But it didn't come. Senor had never failed to return after his usual late-night stroll before. It made Hannibal anxious. When he woke at 7 the next morning after a restless night, he dressed quietly so as not to wake his wife and went outside again to search and call for the dog. About 30 minutes later, when he reached one of the last rows of the almond grove close to the banks of the reservoir, he understood why Senor hadn't come home. The sight froze him to the core. Chapter 2. The reflexive way he moved his head, radar-like, made him look like a common thief. Tugging his hood up over his cap, he peered around. Right, left, behind him. Again from the top. Then he scaled the tall wire fence like it was child's play, while the white Samoyed lay down at his command in a deep shadow by the wall, making itself almost invisible. Jumping, he landed deftly on his feet. Not quite as deftly as in the old days, he admitted to himself, but he barely had to catch his balance. He strolled over to the nearest bin, fully at ease in these now familiar surroundings, fitted the special handle he'd made onto the triangular piece of metal, turned it to the left, and opened the heavy lid. The first time had been torture, a journey into indignity that had left him temporarily paralyzed. He had literally broken down barriers he didn't know he could. The humiliation had crept under his skin like a parasite, and there it had sat, gnawing for weeks. But now, that feeling was gone, leaving a simple rationale in its place. If you're hungry, eat. He clambered over the awkward threshold and dropped inside, where the abundance of food felt like a hoard of gold. The first bin contained vegetables. Switching on his torch, he began to search. Fumbling around like this always reminded him of supermarket shopping on a crowded Saturday morning when the shops were full of noisy families with kids.